If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3,
Philadelphia.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia.
Free speech lives here.
It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go. Live on this Tuesday, May 28th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210, the phone number. On social media at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale. K-A-Y-A-L. Dawn Stensland with the news. Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board. Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. Hopefully all of you had a nice Memorial Day weekend. Or as Kamala Harris said 3 years ago on Twitter, enjoy the long weekend. Welcome back. It's a Tuesday already. Dawn, good morning. How was your Memorial Day?
Good morning. It was great. We had a lot of family get-togethers, and that was wonderful.
Pretty darn good weather up until yesterday.
Yes.
Three out of 4 days, not bad. Gregory.
Jersey Shore gone wild. What the hell is happening?
So much for those curfews, huh?
Ocean City, Wildwood.
We were in Wildwood.
Utes gone wild. State of emergency Sunday night into Monday?
Yep.
Wow.
Utes gone wild. Can I get that on Blu-ray or DVD or VHS?
Worst Girls Gone Wild ever.
Oh, my God.
That was on the Ocean City boardwalk.
Oh.
The Girls Gone Wild.
But in your neck of the woods, Dawn, everything was on the up and up?
We were in Wildwood.
See what happens when
crazy.
See what happens when you make something a dry town.
Let there be booze, folks.
Let there be. The kids will find it.
Yeah.
Any way that they're going to.
It's kind of crazy. I think, Stocker, didn't you say this months ago, bands don't work?
Yeah, imagine that.
All right, big take this morning, follow the money. I will also say something for the first time ever on this show that I have never said before.
Oh, boy.
And I mean it. You know, it's a true opinion.
Uh-oh.
And it's time.
Oh, no.
It's time. Sometimes you just got to look around the room and say, you know what, there's some other smart people out there and they might know something. So we'll get to that this morning. Democrat-Republican realignment, how Trump and Biden are changing the lay of the land, so to speak. And also campaign ad spending when it comes to the swing states. Pennsylvania, you are also on the receiving end of lots of cash. We're going to get to that coming up this morning. And also, before you know it, it'll be June. So I think it's in this audience's best interest that we deliver a Pride Month preview.
Yes.
Get ready, folks. Will these corporations double down from the mistakes a year ago, or will they have learned their lesson? We will find out. Ocean City, New Jersey, and also Nintendo.
Yeah.
Gets woke.
Nintendo?
Yeah. Nintendo. Yeah, remember old Donkey Kong and Duck Hunt and Mario Brothers on the old Super Nintendo and the Nintendo Entertainment System? We'll give you those details. Donald Trump closing arguments today. The most likely outcome, according to former federal prosecutors. We will kick that around as well. Cut sheet absolutely loaded. I think there's about 32 pages to work through today. Soccer hasn't been here since last Thursday, so he's got all kinds of bullets in the chamber.
I do.
and much, much more. But before we get to all of that, let's get to the news. 6:04, round number one, fresh off of a beach day in Wildwood, the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning, Kale and Company. News live on this Tuesday, as Greg Sacker says, Tuesday morning. Yes, here we go. 4-day work week. We are sponsored by Styles CFO Services on this Tuesday morning, May 28th. Headed up to 84 degrees, 67 degrees right now. So a violent weekend in Philadelphia. Police investigating multiple different shootings across the city. 12 shot, 3 dead. That's the headline this morning in Philadelphia over the 3-day weekend, which, of course, yesterday, Memorial Day, many here and across the nation commemorating those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation as U.S. military veterans. Many parades and many family celebrations, commemorations, as we think about those who paid the price for our freedom. Let's get to the rest of the weekend. And it wasn't just violent in Philadelphia. Down the Jersey Shore, making national news headlines, really, the boardwalk in Wildwood, New Jersey, finally reopened yesterday morning after police had to restrict and declare a state of emergency due to all of the violence happening that was overwhelming. And so they said they had so much civil unrest. These were fights breaking out on the boardwalk. So they said the restriction on the boardwalk access was put in place early Monday overnight, what police called civil unrest threatening the public health, safety, and welfare of residents and visitors alike.
Did it always used to be this way? I don't recall that. I know we always say, well, okay, you know, back in my day, but I don't remember a, what was the official terminology you used just now, Dawn?
State of emergency.
Yeah, I don't ever recall. I don't ever recall state of emergencies. Have there always been young punks? Yes, I just don't recall state of emergencies when I was with my mom and dad at the shore.
This show should be renamed. Did it always used to be this way? yes, it did.
State of emergencies, though.
I mean, sure.
I need facts on that.
There's unruly children.
I get that.
That happens.
But state of emergencies. Don't think I've ever heard that before. I could be wrong.
The police said part of this, the reason that they had to declare the state of emergency was an irrepressible number of calls to police. So everybody was calling 911 freaking out. So they had all these 911 calls and they really didn't have enough police to handle and respond to every one of those 911 calls.
Okay. Resources stretched thin. Yeah.
So resources. So more people calling back in the day, maybe people would handle things themselves or not call. And then on the other hand, maybe it's a police, you know, defund the police issue.
Yeah,
maybe.
Could be. You know, back in my day, Dawn, we would grab these guys by the t-shirt and hang them up by their Buster Browns.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
Can't do that. Can't just call their parents. Mm-hmm. In New Jersey, policy under the direction of Phil Murphy, New Jersey governor, they have a new policing policy there. I know that most of it was due to marijuana laws, but the truth is, it's a whole new day, new sheriff in town.
Yeah, that's the mayor of Ocean City was on with Dom yesterday, and he basically put the blame right at Phil Murphy's feet.
Good.
Yeah, because you're not allowed to really punish these kids. You're not allowed to call their parents. There's a lot of restrictions on police. So what are you going to do? Shut down the boardwalk.
Great.
That's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just in Wildwood, because Wildwood has an old reputation. If you haven't been to Wildwood in a while.
I have not.
It's gorgeous. We had an amazing weekend there. It's a shame that this headline is happening, but I did not hear the reports of the violence that we saw on the Ocean City, New Jersey boardwalk. One teenager was stabbed Saturday night. You had girl fights. You had two girls, I believe 16 years old. They were arrested. And this 15-year-old boy was stabbed on the boardwalk, but right between 9th and 10th streets. Officers responding to those reports of the fight along the boardwalk to find the boy after he had been stabbed. They don't know who did it. He was taken to the hospital. Non-life-threatening injuries, but certainly serious injuries, and he's in stable condition.
It wasn't a kid, though, was it?
15-year-old boy stabbed.
Oh, no.
In Ocean City.
That did the stabbing. Was it a kid?
They're not identifying a suspect. They're just saying it's an ongoing investigation.
The lesson to be learned here, take your short trips where law and order is still enforced.
Yeah.
And now you see why I skip Jersey and I go south.
Now, we had, the thing is, if you're home by 11 o'clock at night, this is not, I think it happens late.
Yeah.
So they're, we'll see if they end up closing up boardwalks.
Didn't the stabbing happen at 8:30?
Yeah, that one did. That's true. Ocean City was a whole different case.
It's still daylight.
No, it was not 9:10 p.m.
Okay.
All right. It's dark then.
So.
That's why I stay home.
Looking ahead today in Manhattan, of course, everyone's looking to the Trump trial and former President Donald J. Trump. He will be there. He will be in court in Manhattan today. And then just a reminder, tomorrow, Wednesday, President Joe Biden will be campaigning in Philadelphia tomorrow, his fifth visit to the area, seventh to PA this year.
I tell you what, it's good. It's got to be approaching 30 total visits, I think, since 2021.
It's crazy.
Just take up residence. Yeah, they'll just move the White House to Montgomery County. My God.
Well, they are investigating. They're investigating whether it was indeed a tornado that struck in Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania. But we had some wild storms move through. Nothing like that today. The sun is out. Beautiful day today. 66 degrees right now. We are headed up to 84 degrees. Lovely weather for this Tuesday and throughout the week. Style CFO Services, offering a full suite of accounting and financial services to help transform your company, big or small. Visit stylecfo.com for your free 21-point assessment. Every organization needs a financial leader. Let Styles CFO Services be yours. And as far as our Philadelphia Phillies, you know,
you can't win
a little bit of a clunker,
cooling off period, right? Can't win 71% of your games all season long. That'd be too much to ask for.
Maybe it's jet lag. I don't know.
No, they always have a problem.
On the West Coast?
They always have a problem in Oracle Park against the Giants.
Yeah. So, blame the park. It's haunted with evil spirits.
I loathe the San Francisco Giants. Loathe them. All those titles they won in like 10, 12, and 14.
But over the weekend, the National League got a little bit easier with the season-ending injury of Ronald Acuña.
I saw he went down with ACL.
Yep.
Yeah.
A completely torn ACL.
Yeah.
He's done for the season. So,
yeah.
Atlanta Braves with their best pitcher, and I think their best player, and I think their best pitcher is out too.
Yeah. So. Not our style to take victory laps on injuries, but if Acuña goes down, I think the Phillies just guaranteed themselves the division.
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
And that is Kale & Company News Live, this Tuesday morning edition.
All right, thank you very much, Dawn. 6:11 on this Tuesday morning. Let's get to a big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the big take this morning. It's brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. Follow the money. It is Trump's for the taking. You know, when I first started this show way back on October 3rd, 2022, I was of the belief and said it many times in the early days of Kale & Company that I thought Donald Trump would be dead on arrival in the 2024 election against Joe Biden. For many, many months, I said that Ron DeSantis was the guy who I thought could defeat the Democrats, but he would have a major issue getting past Donald Trump in the primaries. Fast forward to May of 2023, and it became obvious to me and many others that DeSantis had holes in his game and some personality flaws that I thought he would not be able to overcome this time around with Donald Trump still in the equation. After the botched Twitter spaces with Elon Musk, I told you that I believe Donald Trump was the best option, especially with indictments in March, April, and May of 2023 only making him stronger. And today, for the first time ever on this show, I am saying the following words. If the election were held today, Donald Trump is your next president in the United States of America. Heck, even Stalker has said that, but I haven't until now. And I have been of the belief up until this past Friday night that Joe Biden would edge out Donald Trump in the rematch by an even smaller margin than in 2020. But I no longer believe that. And yes, the election isn't held today. And yes, there's lots of variables still in play before we get to November 5th. Trump's court cases, as closing arguments begin today in Manhattan, the first debate on June 27th, the RNC convention in mid-July, and the DNC convention in August. Heck, we could still end up with Joe Biden being replaced by Kamala Harris, Gavin Newsom, or even Josh Shapiro, for all we know. But today, at this moment in time, Trump is your winner. I truly believe that. Just like when I told you 2 or 3 days before the midterms in 2022 that the much anticipated red wave would not materialize, I just felt it in my gut. It seemed too easy to say that the red wave would happen, and it didn't. I had the same feeling again, and it has nothing to do with polls, and it has very little to do with the victory parade we had on Friday's show with the Bronx New York rally last Thursday night. It has everything to do with the money. And there's a phrase out there that goes something like this: follow the money. If you do that, odds are you'll be on the winning side financially and understanding what's going on. That applies to global issues, foreign policy, the stock market, gambling on sports, betting on certain people or groups to get something accomplished. And then you understand their motives and their rationale behind their choices. Just follow the money. And here's a couple of major stories that developed after we got off the air on Friday to confirm my beliefs. Friday afternoon around 3 o'clock, Axios with a major scoop. The headline reads, Blackstone CEO Steve Schwarzman tells Axios he will support Donald Trump as a, quote, vote for change. He will donate to Trump and Senate GOP candidates. Rising anti-Semitism sped his decision. He earlier wanted a next-gen leader in 2024. Now, Blackstone is a private equity and real estate giant, and according to Axios, quote, the endorsement gives Trump access to a potent network of Republican donors that Schwarzman has cultivated. Trump also could get a new look from some business leaders who in the past have been reluctant to back him. Schwarzman, a billionaire and lifelong moderate Republican, was one of Trump's most visible business supporters when he was in the White House. Quote, I share the concern of most Americans that our economic, immigration, and foreign policies are taking the country in the wrong direction. For these reasons, I am planning to vote for change and support Donald Trump for president. In addition, I will be supporting Republican Senate candidates and other Republicans up and down the ticket. In November of 2020, Schwarzman called on Trump to move on from his defeat as supporters scrambled to try to overturn the election. After Republicans' disastrous midterm performance, Axios broke the news that Schwarzman was searching for a new generation and next-gen candidate in 2024. Quote, America does better when its leaders are rooted in today and tomorrow, not today and yesterday, Schwarzman said in November of 2022. Quote, it is time for the Republican Party to turn to a new generation of leaders, and I intend to support one of them in the presidential primaries. So that's example number one of follow the money. Here's example number two. The New York Post with this headline, Silicon Valley investors embrace Trump after years of leaning left, quote, impossible to support Biden. Here's an excerpt from the Post. Some Silicon Valley venture capitalists have begun to turn against President Biden while openly touting their support for former President Donald Trump, a change for an industry that has overwhelmingly supported Democrats in years past. Prominent moguls such as David Sachs, Mark Andreessen, and Sean McGuire have grown disillusioned with signature Biden policy proposals, such as the call for a 25% billionaire tax, as well as antitrust crackdowns waged by the Federal Trade Commission. Quote, it's impossible to support Biden, said Keith Raboy, an early executive at PayPal, who also played a role in the growth of LinkedIn, Square and Slide, which he told the New York Times. Sachs, the entrepreneur and investor who made his fortune as chief operating officer at PayPal during its early days, plans to host a fundraiser for Trump, as well as interview the former president on his All In podcast. Following the incident, Sachs said that the January 6, 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol disqualified Trump from elected office. But 4 years of a Biden presidency have changed Sachs' mind. That according to the New York Times. Quote, I have bigger disagreements with Biden than with Trump, Sachs was quoted as telling a tech conference last week. And then lastly, the third and final element of following the money is the betting market. Here is a timeline of the betting margin that Trump has overcame and is now dominating in. On April 18th, Joe Biden was a 2-point favorite. Yesterday, May 27th, Memorial Day, Joe Biden is now a 19-point underdog. That is a 21-point swing in Donald Trump's favor. And here's the line movement from a gambling perspective. On April 5th, Biden and Trump were both minus 105, 105 to win $100. On May 10th, Trump was a 120 favorite, Biden a plus 105 underdog. And then it kept growing, and the margins kept widening. May 14th, Trump minus 130, Biden plus 110. May 20th, Trump minus 150, Biden plus 130. Today, Donald Trump is now minus 165. He's almost a 2-to-1 favorite, and Biden is plus 140. And why is all of this happening? Well, it goes beyond following the money. It's also about the campaign trail. Here's two clips from CNN giving the truth about what's developing in this country. Here's Scott Jennings, first of all, telling Dana Bash on Sunday about how Donald Trump is growing the Republican Party. Listen and watch this.
Trump going there this week, this is a, they are striking such a confident pose right now. He goes to the Libertarians and tells them, if you want to keep getting your 3%, go ahead. Otherwise, come with me. He goes to the Bronx and says, I'm better than Joe Biden. I'm trying to build a party that's inclusive of you. I think all the places he's going, they are striking this confident pose. And it's a campaign unlike we've seen from other Republican candidates. I think it's pretty confident, and they know they're winning, and they're trying to take advantage of that position.
By the way, RFK Jr. was rejected by the Libertarian Party, receiving only 2% support as Chase Oliver wins the nomination after Trump was heckled and booed at the Libertarian Convention. As you heard there from Scott Jennings, Trump clapped back saying, good luck with your 3% every 4 years. Shermichael Singleton is a black Republican strategist. He also joined Dana Bash on CNN on Sunday to illustrate what Trump is doing that Joe Biden is not. Listen and watch this.
Look, I think going to the Libertarian Convention was smart. According to Gallup, they represent 17-20% of the American electorate. Maybe you shave off 8% of them. That can make a difference in a very, very tight presidential race. Regardless of the reasons of going to the Bronx, it's important. No one should be presumptive to assume that people of color are going to just vote one way purely because they're black or because they're Hispanic. That seems to be the case for my Democratic friends. And I think it's why a lot of people of color are looking at Joe Biden. And they're realizing that my life is not better. When I go to the grocery store, things are expensive. The infrastructure in my surrounding community has not improved. And when I think about the future for my children, they're still in dilapidated schools where the educational system is deplorable. That's the Democratic message in my perspective. And so to have a Republican show up, whether he's being booed, jeered, whatever the case may be, he's showing up to places where Joe Biden is not. And I think that's going to make a difference.
You can see the pain in Dana Bash's face. But I'll leave you with this. This being the least important anecdotal piece of evidence, because as we know, the polls have told us nothing but lies for 2 years. But this poll jumps off the page at you. The Morning Consult Bloomberg poll, Trump up 7 in Pennsylvania, Trump up 8 in Wisconsin, Trump up 3 in Michigan, up 3 in Nevada, Trump up 9 in Arizona, Trump is up 8 in Georgia, and 10 in North Carolina. Polls are polls, just like my opinion today, saying for the first time ever that Trump would win the election if held today. It's a snapshot in time. But look at the gambling market. And most importantly, look at the billionaires. Look at Silicon Valley. And as Dawn says, look at the biggity bigs. Follow the money, people. The money says Trump, at least today. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it's brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. Get special financing as low as 2.9% for up to 48 months on the 2024 Honda CR-V and Passport. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, and Springfield, or online at PiazzaHonda.com. We'll take your thoughts if you want to jump in, 855-839-1210, on social media at 1210WPHT, and of course in the Kale & Company comment community. It's our YouTube chat. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. Kale & Company on a Tuesday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, we're back after this here on Talk Radio 1210WPHT.
Dingers, blasts, moonshots, whatever you call them. Everyone loves home runs. And with FanDuel, Dinger Tuesdays, you can love them even more. That's right. Every Tuesday is a Dinger Tuesday this season on America's number one sports book. Just bet on a player to home run, and FanDuel will give you $5 in bonus bets for every home run hit during that game. If you're up early here at 6:23 in the morning, you're probably not going to be up for the 9:40 game tonight for the Philadelphia Phillies. draft, but there are so many other players and games that you can bet on. As if you needed another reason to love the long ball, go to FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel.com/Greg, to get in on all the Dinger Tuesday action. That's FanDuel.com/Greg. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official partnership with Valley Forge Casino and the official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHT, 21 and over, President PA. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus, $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Brian Kester, King Shooter Supply, King of Prussia. He has commandeered the playlist this week as he donated $500 to Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation.
Brian.
Now, the only question is this a wraparound week for him? Does he get Tuesday through Monday, or is it just Tuesday through Friday? Because it is a short week. I don't want to jip my man. If he thinks it's $100 a day, he might get next Monday.
Yeah.
I need to do a poll question on this.
He should probably do next Monday.
Whatever makes your life easier, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he should probably do next Monday.
Okay. He's got all kinds of good songs lined up here. I'm actually looking at the playlist, and he also has some commentary that he wants to pass along to Dawn, which we will give out in a little bit when we get to that certain song at some point in the next 4 days. I'll let the cat out of the bag.
Oh.
Brian Kester says, Dawn, Springsteen sucks. But I digress. We could do that show later in around the 4th of July when there's nothing to talk about. Oh, wait, no, that's sports radio. My bad. 855-839-1210. I don't know. Am I out of my mind for thinking that all of a sudden you start seeing some of these, Dawn, as you say, biggity bigs? Because, you know, we always talk about the economy and we talk about immigration being the top two issues for Trump when running against Joe Biden. But when we talk about the economy, we always talk about it really like at a grassroots level. Oh, you know, I complain about the groceries, you know, moms that do all the balancing of the checkbook, living paycheck to paycheck, they deal with this. And then you start to see billionaires and millionaires flipping, so to speak, guys that have so much money, they don't even know what to do with it, who say Trump should have been disqualified after January 6th, or Trump should have dialed it back after November of 2020. Now, all of a sudden, when the global elites and the 1% are like, you know what, I actually have more issue with Joe Biden and his policies than I do Donald Trump, I think that's something that you really need to take notice of. And I saw that Friday as I was golfing. Silicon Valley investors, and then CEOs of Blackstone like Schwartzman out there. I thought it was actually Larry Fink from BlackRock. I had to reread that tweet on Friday as I was golfing. But all of a sudden, Dawn, the guys with the big checkbooks are like, you know what? I'm publicly endorsing Donald Trump, no matter what I said 4 years ago.
Nick, welcome to the party, pal.
Yep. Yep.
I think that it was significant with Schwartzman that, yes, he's citing the economy and the border issues, but also the anti-Semitism. And I think that that issue for a lot of Americans, as we look at the upside down world, this insanity that's happening on these college campuses is intolerable.
Mm-hmm.
And just shows you that Joe Biden will do anything, even giving up on what a lot of people, I think, perceived as his principles on something like this, where you have Jewish kids on campuses and beyond being threatened and, you know, their lives threatened. And so I think that it's a bigger issue than we know.
Mm-hmm. And could very well be.
So I wonder if, you know, Biden seem and the Democrats seem so worried, except for Fetterman, who we've talked a lot about. But, I mean, Biden's camp seems so worried that they're going to harm, you know, the Muslim or Arab vote, whatever that looks like in places like Michigan. Maybe they're going to lose people, and maybe they're going to lose not just people of the Jewish faith,
mm-hmm.
but as well losing Americans who say, how could you let this go on?
Right.
Even look in Bucks County locally. I mean, the federal investigation with the allowance of Jewish students and, you know, who are being bullied by a teacher with anti-Semitic remarks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. We just saw it also in Piscataway, New Jersey, with Rutgers, where you have another professor who has been posting all sorts of anti-Semitic stuff on his social media feeds, where it's like it's just open season on Jewish hate speech, as if we're talking about something as trivial as, you know, posting on social media that you hate the Dallas Cowboys. Like, no, no, you can't just come out here and just keep firing with all of this rhetoric and inflammatory commentary and not expect there to be some sort of repercussions, maybe at the highest of levels, yeah, losing an election. And then you look at some of these millionaires and the billionaires out there that are like, you know what? I enjoy being a billionaire. I love being a millionaire. I don't want a 25% billionaire tax courtesy of the Biden administration. All of a sudden, these people start getting hit in the wallets, and your ears and your eyes start to perk up a little bit. And when smart, wealthy people speak, I try to listen. Whether I agree with them or disagree with them, odds are they got there because they're super bright. And I think a lot of these people are now not only seeing the light, but they're coming out and saying it publicly. And they don't care if you're going to be mad about the fact that they're backing the Republican or the orange man. They don't care because those people aren't cancelable. Steve Schwarzman can't be canceled. These guys don't care if you get on Twitter and say, yeah, this guy should be blah, blah, blah. They, you know, it's not the average guy who makes $50,000 a year that could lose his job because he posts something on Facebook that some crabapple disagrees with. You know, these are the elites of the world. But speaking of money, I thought this was very interesting, courtesy of NPR. When we talk about advertising and spending in this upcoming election, and NPR has a very detailed and a very good breakdown, actually, of the seven key states, the seven swing states in the presidential election. And I just want to go through a couple of these numbers, because Pennsylvania is first and foremost the top state where we are seeing advertising dollars being spent. And NPR says the following. If you look at the actions of the campaigns since March 6th, a day after Super Tuesday, the unofficial start of the general election season, you will see that there's been $72 million that have been spent on ads. Now, that includes TV, radio, and digital for the presidential election. And this is according to data from Ad Impact, which tracks the advertising spending. And almost 70% of that $72 million has been spent in the seven key states, especially right here in good old Pennsylvania, where $21.2 million, let me say that again, 21 of the $72 million has been spent in Pennsylvania, which equates to almost three out of every $10 spent going to one state. So about 30% has been going to Pennsylvania. And here's a disparity between the Biden campaign and the Trump campaign. First of all, Democrats right now are outspending Republicans by more than double, $49.2 million to $22.1 million. And Biden's campaign is the biggest spender so far at $34.2 million. In a distant second is MAGA Inc., which is the outside group that supports Trump. They've ponied up about $12 million. Now, here's the one where I think it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Trump's campaign has spent zilch on ads, a total of $70,000 as of Friday. Now, we know they just had a fundraiser, what, 6 weeks ago, that racked in somewhere between $25 and $40 million at Mar-a-Lago?
Yeah, his total haul was $50.5
million
in April.
So it makes you wonder, not if, but when. And if this is by design, because right now Joe's burning through the cash and Trump ain't spending a damn dime.
Well, Trump doesn't need to.
True.
Because he's in the headlines every day.
Yep.
He holds a press conference at 9:30 and 5 p.m. every day.
Start your work day and end your work day.
He's getting all this free publicity,
mm-hmm,
by these trials that they're putting him through.
Yeah.
Like, that is, they're giving him free publicity.
Yep.
He's literally in every news headline.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally in every newscast, whether it's national or local.
Yep.
Joe Biden can't say that.
No. No, he cannot. And I will say that this is very encouraging. We've talked, and Greg, you have said, Trump, get to Pennsylvania. Get to Pennsylvania. Joe's always here. Kamala's always here. Advertising-wise, from MAGA Inc., four out of every $5 that MAGA Inc. has spent of that $12 million that I just mentioned has gone to Pennsylvania, actually.
Yeah.
80% from MAGA Inc. going to the Keystone State. The other dollar, the other 20%, so to speak, mostly going to Georgia, where it is spending $1.2 million. Very great breakdown. If you want to read this, it's at NPR's website. The most run ad of the campaign so far for Joe Biden has been about the Affordable Care Act. It's run 7,700 times in 17 days in seven states. And when it comes to MAGA Inc., the most run ad is focused on immigration, followed by the economy. As far as other issues, abortion has been by far the focus of most of the spending on a total of ads, some $19 million by Democrats. Next on the list, immigration at $8 million, crime at $8 million, economy, inflation, Obamacare, and jobs. So a lot of money, follow the money, a lot of spending, and a lot of really, really wealthy people coming out and saying what their intentions are as we went into the Memorial Day holiday weekend. So I think it's pretty interesting to see where we are at right now. And then lastly, this has also been a big twist, and we've kind of talked about this, whether we're looking at Bucks County or we're looking at some of these, you know, swing states and getting deep in the weeds at a grassroots level. The Bronx rally, which, you know, we discussed a ton on Friday when Sean Farish was in with Dawn and I when Greg was off on Friday. Axios has a pretty good breakdown, and I don't think this is really breaking news, but it does go you to show you the shift in the dynamic and how things can change, you know, over the course of 4 years or 8 years or a couple of different election cycles. And with the reaction, and really, look, you know, I thought it was a cool sight. I thought the Bronx rally was super entertaining, but I don't think New York is in play. I don't think New Jersey is in play. But it does go to show you that you're not getting the typical same old Democrat and some of the boxes that a Democrat would check off, and the same old Republican or MAGA voter and the boxes that those individuals would check off. As Axios has laid out a good breakdown, how the rally in the Bronx shows a different than usual MAGA crowd. And they say, here's why it matters. The unusual sights and sounds of Trump speaking to several thousand people in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood in deep blue New York is a sign of the times and a sign of the realignment happening between the two parties. Trump's GOP is becoming more working class and a little bit more multiracial. Democrats are gaining with more well-educated voters in the suburbs. And we've talked about this in the past, Dawn, and you always go out to the suburbs and talk to suburban moms. But I do think it's interesting. Suburbs going more D, and then you have multiracial people, black, Hispanic, Asian, Latino, on down the list of people that typically might not go Republican that are saying, you know what? And I said this on Friday, don't matter what color you are. Trump said, whatever the hell color you are. You know what color 99% of us value? Green. Cash. We like money. I know there's some people out there that don't value money, but most of us need money, right? And most of us work because we need to earn a living. And I think no matter what race you are, Joe Biden has hindered your bottom line financially, and Donald Trump made your life better. If you can move your feelings to the side and just look at the facts, this shouldn't be a difficult election. Unless abortion means the world to you, which it might. Unless, you know, there's one issue out there, D or R, pro or con, that is the be-all, end-all for you. If you just look side by side and you compare the two resumes and you were a hiring boss and these were your two options to hire for a position, 99 out of 100 people, I think, if you look at it logistically and factually and logically, would select Donald Trump. Now, you have people that are like my mother-in-law, and they just, you know, they'd rather be poor and vote for Biden than see the orange man in and have wealth. But what are you going to do? So,
yeah, I think the Bronx rally was fascinating just because of what you're saying, that it illustrates. I don't think it was for New York. That's just it. Now, I will say that the Reverend who spoke out, we played the audio on Friday, and, you know, for him to say, I'm a black Puerto Rican man, he's not just a reverend of one church. He actually is a biggity big, like, you know, in the faith, evangelical and Catholic community, and is involved in all the churches. That's significant, something to watch, that it's not just the fact of the so-called black and brown community, but the evangelical, Christian, Catholic, Jewish, communities, faith-based, family values mm-hmm. kind of individuals
right.
who are saying, look at this upside-down land we live in, and Trump is the guy who's going to turn it back in a right way. Does that give everybody else the permission? I don't know if you've ever been to a yoga. I think of my yoga instructor.
I did yoga once. I almost died.
You have permission. You know, they always say, like, breathe. And so it gives, in a serious way, it gives people permission to say, oh, look at all of these different individuals mm-hmm. in the Bronx.
Right.
The bluest place in America politically.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something that visually matters to people across the nation. So I think that's the significance of it.
It's a good point, because you might be Black, Brown, Asian, Hispanic, and have been thinking, boy, you know what, I probably should vote Trump. I probably will, but I don't want to come out and publicly say it. And then all of a sudden you turn on that rally Thursday night and you're like, oh, there's a lot of people like me out there that are publicly embracing the Republican candidate, which, you know, typically has not been the case. But we've talked about it. Trump has grown from 6% to 12% to certainly north of 12% in 2024 with the Black voter. I tend to think it'll be about 20%, but we will find out. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, Pride Month is coming up. Have companies like Target and Walmart and Kohl's learned their lessons? What are these corporations getting set to unleash on June 1st? We've got the details, and it's coming up next here on Kale & Company.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Good to have everybody back in. Before you know it, Father's Day will be here, almost June, and that means Pride Month. Get ready to get your pride apparel. A lot of culture wars we fought last year around this time, following what I think was really the launching point when Bud Light went out with the Dylan Mulvaney ad in March of 2023. And then, of course, that carried into April and May, and Bud Light still feels the effects of it today. And last May and June, we talked a lot about conservatives boycotting big corporations, whether it was Kohl's or Target. And I've got a story here in front of me, and the question is, will these corporate retailers double down after the mistakes that they made in the summer of 2023, or have they learned their lesson? It looks like Target is going to scale back this year, which goes to show you how fraudulent they are, because they realize, oh, wait a minute, our bottom line gets affected, but we get our social credit score bump. And all of a sudden, these big corporate executives are like, man, I lost my bonus. All right, let's take the Pride apparel and find a nice little spot back in the corner of the store where nobody will really see it. But apparently Walmart did not get the memo. This is from Fox Business. As Walmart promotes Pride merchandise, as Target will scale back following the backlash, they say the following. Walmart is now promoting its new Pride apparel on social media ahead of Pride Month. As they posted on Saturday, writing on Instagram, quote, not just a slogan, hashtag Pride always is a reminder to lead with love. I do think a lot of Americans, just in general, lead with love. I think most people are genuinely good people. I just don't need your political or social advertising and commentary and where you stand on social issues in front and center in aisle one when I walk in to pick up some summer clothes for my kids, or pick up an electronic device, or perhaps to do some grocery shopping at Target or Walmart. I know, Greg, you despise Walmart, and you think it's a detestable location.
Absolutely.
Dawn
defends it to death.
Gross. Gross humans.
So apparently Walmart, they're going to go down that road, and they'll feel it too.
I was in an undisclosed location over the weekend.
Your basement.
I had to go like 20 miles out of the way to go to a Walmart to get something that we've stupidly forgot.
You forgot the
mustard.
And yeah. It was like going into a third world country.
Oh, will you stop it?
Honest to God, there were people in pajamas, their butt cracks hanging out. Everybody, like, you know, rushing to the aisles, yeah, trying to get this, and like coughing.
Got to get the newest Stanley.
Oh, thank God.
First of
gross
all,
gross humans.
Pajama pants, unfortunately, that's especially for high school and college kids.
Uh huh.
The pajama pants, that's the style.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
The new style is to look like you're homeless.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I perfect that. I don't mind that. I just, I, I'm just talking about like these people who look like they haven't bathed in 6 months.
Yeah, you know. We gave you that story a couple of weeks ago that the daily shower serves no benefit.
Yeah.
Maybe they read that story and listened. So the company's promotion for Walmart comes just weeks after Target said that its Pride collection would only be available in, quote, select stores, following a major backlash by conservatives last year. Target has had Pride June month displays with rainbow and LGBTQ plus messaging for years, but the addition of products such as female-style swimsuits that can be used to tuck male genitalia outraged many consumers last year. Target CEO Brian Cornell said last year's second quarter sales downturn showed, quote, an ever-changing operating and social environment and taught the company a lesson. So,
yeah, but it was the onesies for little kids. That was the weird thing.
It was the whole tuck job.
It was you know, the tuck thing. Well,
it was every Karen in the world was upset about it. Who cares?
No.
You don't want to see it. No. Don't buy it.
You're wrong.
I don't know. What the hell's wrong with you?
It's one thing, you know, to have Pride t-shirts or whatever. Nobody cares about that. That's fine. But it was the stuff for little kids and
don't buy it for your little kids then. Who cares?
No, it's just weird though.
It's more of that sexualization.
I'm with you with all of the teachers and everything. We play it on TikTok. But like, dude, it's a free country. You're a consumer. If you don't want something,
don't
buy it.
That's right, Greg. And that's what moms did, especially moms I know.
Right.
They were like, I love Target. I have all these gift cards. But yeah, I'm not going there. It's weird. It got to the weird point where they're trying to push stuff on little kids.
Do you think they really boycotted it? Do you really think they boycotted it?
Oh, I know for a fact. Oh,
okay, yes, you know for a fact.
The numbers
I'm talking about family members and friends who did.
Yeah, they were down
over the numbers, Greg.
They were down over
17%.
Over 17%.
Why do you think the numbers went down, Greg?
Because numbers go up and down.
Oh, come. You're in denial.
Well, they came back. Target has come back more than Bud Light has. Bud Light's still feeling the effect 15 months later. But Target had a major dip for Q2. Got all the stats right here. 855-839-1210. I just hope Walmart doesn't make the same mistake. But, Stocker, you hate Walmart, so maybe they'll go out of business.
Gross. They got Pride, whatever. I don't care. I'm not going to shop there anymore.
Why? They have great deals. Yeah. I love Walmart. I don't know why you don't like Walmart.
It sucks.
Does it matter where the neighbor? I know we're way past the break. Does it matter where the Walmart is, though? Are there Walmarts in nice neighborhoods that are not detestable with clientele?
No, it has nothing to do with it. Any Walmart you go to anywhere is it looks like a homeless encampment.
Okay. What a snot! You're such an elitist.
Yes, elitist.
All right, 855-839-1210. Don will have some news to kick off hour number two, and then after that, I want to get to this Ocean City, New Jersey story that we talked about in the news. I believe we have the video, correct? I believe that there's camera
footage.
I asked
the boys to get it. Who knows?
All right. Well, they've had 28 hours of notice. If they don't get it, somebody's fired. We'll get to that after we get to the news as we work our way towards the cut sheet.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.